This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Thursday. Let's see. Today on the radio, it's Thursdays. That means we got Writer Than Right trivia. Jeffrey's restored order. Well, normally, Jeffrey, we've got some kind of a fabulous prize. Do we have a fabulous prize in the second hour? Do we even know what the fabulous prize is yet?
Jeff, we do indeed. We've got four tickets to go see the home opener. That's Saturday night against the Orlando Magic. And in addition to that, we will also have two tickets to go see Steve Martin and Martin Short. That
Holy
is at
smokes.
The Orpheum Theater, January the 25th. So that is going to be in 2025. And then I believe we will also have 901 wrestling tickets to the last show of 2024. That will happen
got
in November.
Got your whole year planned.
Yeah, a little triple prize pack, baby.
We got Grizz Ticks. We got Steve Martin and Martin Short.
Oh, yeah.
At the Orpheum and 901 wrestling. That's all on the second hour. Also, Chris Harrington will be joining us in the second hour to talk about the Grizzlies. Big win last night. How about that? Grizzlies win, Grizzlies win, Grizzlies win. They're tied for first in the league, Jeffrey.
Indeed they are, Jeff.
How about that?
You can't win 82 in a row until you win the first one.
We back, baby. Mm-hmm. We back. Grizz win, Grizz win, Grizz win. We said we'd play. You know what? Let's just get right to it. We said we would play highlights. We said that what we wanted to do most of all today was to be able to play highlights with a joyous spirit, highlights that mean something, highlights that have an impact, highlights that could contribute to a deep playoff run, a championship season, all of that. For the first time in, certainly since Ja's injury last year, we got him. Hit it! It's the first bucket of the season, Jeffrey. Here it is.
Morant hangs in the lane, floats, scores, and gets one more. Oh, Ja Morant elevated, got bumped from behind, got the whistle. The foul going to be on Taylor Hendricks, and that was an acrobatic move by Morant to get the Grizzlies' first 2 points of the season.
There you go. That's it. History. I mean, before then, Santi Aldama had missed two threes, Jeffrey. And I'm like, oh, man. Oh, no. They may not score all season long. Ja gets things started. We have, and I'm going to tell you, this is not going to be a theme of the evening.
This was a tone setter. This was a very heads-up basketball play.
This is not going to be a theme of the evening where you have an Edie highlight. One.
The foul line, working on Hendricks again, gets to the window, misses the left-hand layup, tapped up and in by Zach Edie. He gets fouled, and he'll get one more. That is the beauty of having someone that big down low. When Kessler went to help after Morant broke down Hendricks.
Yeah, the beauty wasn't.
Jeff, it was such a heads-up basketball play. He then proceeded to miss the free throw, but that allowed for a five-point possession.
That's true. Fair point. By the way, one reason we're playing the highlights here is we know some of you didn't watch the game because you couldn't.
Oh, boy.
There was a lot of hell breaking out on
social media. I think I even saw some people say, I miss Bally's, which that's when you know you're down.
So it was fine for me and my AT&T. What do I got?
You have UVerse.
UVerse. And it was fine. I had it regular old channel 1727. There they were, just renamed. You watched it.
So this is a sore subject, but I signed up for DirecTV Stream last night, so I'm streaming my old DirecTV, and I was a little behind to try and make sure that I didn't run into the lagging issues everyone else did, but I was fine.
The people who were, well,
Comcast.
Some people who have YouTube TV discovered
it's
not on YouTube TV, so those people were mad. The people, the most persistent anger came from the Comcast / Xfinity crowd.
Correct.
Because I gather they're supposed to have it.
Yes.
And this is not my area of expertise.
And they had to pay more to have it. So
Comcast people were double pissed because it moved up a different package,
so
you had to
level.
You had to upgrade
and
to
then
the
it was
higher
just
level.
Pixelated. The
Correct.
First
My
half.
Mom said
it straighten out?
I think it straightened out in the second half, but I think, you know, at a certain point, it's like, oh, well, congratulations.
Right,
like,
right,
you finally gave me what I paid for.
So then what a bunch of people did was, and this is the world we're in today. It is not all better, ladies and gentlemen. The world technology has not made our lives seamless, effortless, and confusion-free. What a lot of people did was they headed over to the FanDuel app and subscribed to the FanDuel app, which is $20 a month.
Right, and again, if I were a conspiracy theory guy, and I'm clearly not.
Oh, you think they did the pixelation to drive you to the app?
Well, Jeff, do you know?
Are they related? Are they kin?
Do you know who Diamond Sports' biggest confrontation was with since they've been in bankruptcy? It was with Comcast.
Yes, but then why would Comcast want to drive people into the arms of FanDuel?
Well, no, I'm saying what if FanDuel's like, we'll get you back, or whatever, Diamond's like, we'll get you back,
Oh, they're feeding them a bad feed. Yeah, well, whatever. Anyway, it's a pain in the ass, and I feel for anyone who had these issues.
My mom just wanted to get in bed and watch the game.
You know what it is? You got to feel it's a little like Zach Edey. It's game one.
Game one.
There's some things to be. It's a long season. It's game one.
Yeah, but they have preseason games.
There's some things to be sorted out here. People were mad, though. Boycotting.
I get it.
I get it, too. No, and particularly if you've paid more.
Yes.
That would be enraging.
If you got the better package or the bigger package.
All right, Santi. Phasing. Santi missed those first two, but he responded in a big way. Here's Santi with a couple of threes.
Left wing feed to Aldama. He'll launch another three. This one's good. Ring it up. Put three on the board. It touched nothing but the net, and the Grizz tie it up with a five-point possession. Morant to the left corner, Aldama, another three, ring it up, put three more on the board. Aldama, maybe the forgotten man in the Jazz defensive scheme. He's gotten wide open looks and is now 2 for 4 from long range.
Well, I bet you they won't forget about him anymore. He's taken 4 3-pointers so far, and now he's, like you said, 2 for 2, so that percentage got to 50% quick, didn't it?
Santi, Santi, Santi. I would say that when Jalen Wells was drafted on the second night, the first time we had a second night of the draft.
Thanks be to Bronny.
And he was drafted. We would not have imagined that when the Grizzlies made their first subs of the season, one of the people who would be coming in was Jalen Wells. We would not imagine that Jalen Wells, second round draft pick and raw.
Yeah.
Just like 3 seconds ago, he was playing for a Division III, II, whatever.
I think it was D2, and then he went to Wazoo.
But
I mean, very much to your point, very much a project.
Came in, and even if you thought that ultimately he'd hit shots, you'd think maybe in game one there would be some nerves. Comes in, bango! Here we are.
After surrendering 8 straight to regain the lead, Jalen Wells hits a left wing three as the Grizzlies take it out of the net off the free throw, and Wells ties the game, his first NBA points. A three from the left wing, ring it up, put three on the board for the rookie out of Washington State.
More from the bench. Here's Scottie Pippen Jr.
Tap to Pippen. 3-on-1 for the Grizzlies if they hurry. Bane to the right wing. Pop up three. Bring it up. Put three on the board. It hits the iron in the window and goes in the bucket. Desmond Baines. First long ball of the night.
Never mind.
17-14. Grizzlies up
Pippen
by three.
Pippen to Bane. That was, I misread it. Pippen to Bane. That's it. Pippen had, that was one of 7 assists for Pippen. Massive steal defensive play late in the game. Didn't shoot well from three. He was 0 of 2 from three. But he was pesky.
He might have also gotten the easiest bucket of the year.
That's true, too. Anyway, here's Aldama to Wells.
Kicks back to the left wing, Wells. He's already got one, and the rookie's got two. Ring it up. Put three on the board. Jalen Wells out of Folsom, California, suburb of Sacramento. Began at Sonoma State University.
Just play the next 4 highlights. I have
Grizz Aldama on open right wing three. Give him another one. 3 threes for Santi Aldama from Spain with a little love. Off the offensive rebound. Out to Smart. He'll launch another three. Ring it up. Put three on the board. Marcus Smart buries another triple. Grizzlies 7-3, and they lead by 9, their largest lead of the game. Morant, right wing, crossed over on Hendricks, into the paint, lobs for Laravia for a two-handed jam. Ja Morant left Taylor Hendricks hugging a little air and then lobbed it up for Laravia for the easy deuce.
That's right, and it's a 9-0 run for the Grizzlies right now. And all you had to do, if you were Jake Laravia, run the baseline. Ja Morant is going to see you.
The left baseline all the way to the rim, hangs in the air, kicks to Bane. Bane to the top, Smart. One more to Laravia. Open three. That is beautiful ball movement that leads to a wide open triple. Ring it up, put three on the board for Jake Laravia.
Marcus Smart could have taken that shot. It was a great, good shot. He passed it up for a great look for Jake Laravia on the wing.
Here's an observation. By the way, 28 assists for the Grizzlies.
Yeah.
Good ball movement.
Santi mentioned that postgame, yeah.
It was not a piece of art. Can we agree on this?
I thought the first half was. The second half was clearly not.
Even the first half, the fouls, there were fouls, there were turnovers, there was the first quarter. I was listening to the radio broadcast, and at one point, Eric was pointing out that James Naismith did not, this is not what he had in mind. That was during the first quarter, and there were some play, that's one game, of course. There were some players who had some modest starts.
Yes.
I would say Brandon Clark was not particularly impressive.
Totally agree.
Would not say with that. And Zach Edey was not particularly impressive. It is interesting, though. We talk about the 10-man rotation. They played 11 players.
Yeah.
They played nobody many minutes. Like, the leader in minutes was Santi with 31. Ja only played 28 minutes.
I was screaming at the TV. Why is he not back in yet?
They clearly were. This was intentional. They were clearly not trying to put too much on
him. I was like, okay, guys, let's go.
When things were slipping away there at the end, I was calling 12 before he called 12. I'll say that. And but what was interesting was, if you look at some of the people who contributed, I mean, obviously Santi was the star of the show with 27 points. And 5 of 10 from three. But you got a 3 from Laravia. You got 2 threes from Wells. We'll get to Jayhoff. But Jayhoff, 3 of 5 from three. Conchar with a 3. Like, you had... none of these guys, like, I mean, Aldama's someone who you'll be able to count on, hopefully. And I think Jayhoff has some real ability. But what's interesting is just how everyone... There's a lot of players who chipped in, particularly with the three-point shooting. When Smart couldn't hit a shot, Brandon Clark wasn't good. Like, there was, timely contributions.
Well, Jeff, does that smell like a team win?
It smells like a team win to me. 100%. All right, so where were we? We were...
How about Ja to Bane?
Yeah, and the old reliables. Let's do a little Ja to Bane.
Inbounds from Morant to Bane. Bane on a drive, into the lane, running floater, bank shot is good. Desmond Bane, left side of the paint, banks it in from 10, 41-33, Grizz by 8.
Here's another one of Santi's threes.
Santi lines up a 3.
Aldama on the left wing, buries another one. Santi Aldama in the start tonight with 4 triples. He's got a team high 12. Ring it up, put 3 on the board, and the Grizzlies up 17.
I believe, Jeffrey, that yesterday... We highlighted Santi.
Well, I think Eric was listening. Did you hear what
Grizz?
Did you hear what Eric referred to him in the first Santi highlight?
The forgotten
Grizz. Left wing feed to Aldama. He'll launch another 3. This one's good. Ring it up. Put 3 on the board. It touched nothing but the net, and the Grizz tie it up with a 5-point possession.
No, maybe it was this one.
Morant to the left corner, Aldama. Another
so
3.
Threes.
Ring it up. Put 3 more on the board. Aldama, maybe the forgotten man of the Jazz defensive scheme.
I believe.
He's got wide open looks and is now 2 for 4 from long range.
Believe yesterday.
They won't forget about him anymore.
I believe yesterday on this show, we called him the forgotten man. And forgotten no more.
Quick, didn't it?
Forgotten no more. All right, where are we?
Jeff, let's go to, how about Ja to Bane?
We did
Aldama
that.
Aldama and Smart. Bane gets an open look at a 3. Ring it up. Put 3 on the board. Ja Morant with the drop-off. Desmond Bane buries his 2nd 3. Morant with his 5th assist. And the Grizzlies back up by 12, 64-52.
Let's skip ahead to number 20 if we can. Let's go to the great Jay Huff.
Now has the ball. Out to Huff. Fires a 3. Ring it up. Put 3 on the board. 6 straight for the Grizz. Back-to-back threes. Bane. And then Bane with the assist to Jay Huff. And the Grizzlies force Will Hardy to call a timeout.
There's some more of that ball movement, by the way. It was deftly done. So Jay Huff.
He looks like he should have been in the NBA.
It's one of the things that Chris Harrington's been saying all along is, yes, he has some flaws as a player, but He's big. He blocks shots. And he can stretch the floor. And it doesn't look fluky at all when those things go in. Indeed, you go back to Virginia, those things were going in.
Yes.
Like, I expect that Zach Edey will have better nights than he had last night. And but it is nice to have Jayhoff, is it not?
Like, absolutely. And I thought he actually played really good defense. Like, I know, like, where some, like, he made the shots hard for their interior guys. And I thought he was, like, watching the game, you're like, how has this guy not been in the league?
3 of 5 from three, 13 points, 5 rebounds, an assist, and 2 blocks, plus on the night as well. All right, let's finish this off with, let's go to 22. Because this was a big play. Got uncomfortably close.
Yeah.
Got uncomfortably close after they're up by 17. And it's kind of being winnowed away. Nah, this is going to be depressing.
Markkanen had the huge second half.
And then Ja did come back in. He said later, my phone is always in my pocket, ready to answer. Ringer is on two. And Santi, in addition to hitting those threes, made himself an attractive target for Ja Morant.
Feeds for Aldama. What a pass. Aldama hangs in the air, up and under the basket. Reverse layup is good. Morant suspended in midair. Found Aldama, his 9th assist. Aldama with 25.
Here's another one.
Now Morant crosses over on Hendricks. Into the lane he comes. Drives. Drops to a cutting Aldama, who lays it up and in. Double-double for Morant. Aldama with a great baseline cut.
And we'll wind up with the jaw layup. Let's go with the jaw layup.
Morant peering in. 10 on the shot clock. Morant, stutter step move. Goes around his back by George. Hanks scoops and scores with the left hand. You're welcome, Utah, for the show being put on by Ja Morant.
That was ridiculous.
So Aaliyah had been out of town on work, and, you know, she's, like, recapping her day. I know she was just happy to have someone to talk to, and I felt like the world's worst husband. I go, honey, you got to see this. And then she didn't get back. She's like, oh, my God.
Behind yes. the back.
She's like, did he lose the ball?
So the best thing that happened last night was that, was Ja and the win.
Totally
right?
Agree.
Ja, they're back. They're good. The win. Right? All of that. Sort of. I'm getting Ja and the win in the same category.
I think it was just... Oh, yeah, this is why we watched. This was why this has been fun.
Sensational.
Yeah.
And by the way, it was not an easy watch because it was an endless, endless game with 77 free throws. It was crazy how long it took. It was not always elegant.
59 fouls.
So it was not really the easiest of watches. But Ja is a different cat. And so that was a hell of a lot of fun. The next most promising thing, honestly, was Santi.
I think so. I mean, I guess it could be sample size, but I mean, if they shoot 37.8% from three, now granted that was a lot of the first half and like the first half building up that number, but all points count, all points matter. If they can shoot 37% from three, that would be their best mark, I think, since like 05, 06.
What's funny is that, you know, Marcus Smart couldn't hit anything, right? He was 1 of 6 from three.
Yeah.
He was 1 of 6 from three. Brandon Clark was not good. But some of the bench players who I mentioned, this is nice. They contributed threes. They actually can.
Yeah.
Like, you expect Aldama to hit threes. I mean, his stroke has always yes. looked like he could hit threes. It's at least you hope it is anticipation that he become an effective 3-point shooter. Wells was drafted to hit threes. Laravia was once drafted to hit threes. Huff, one of the things he does is hit threes. I didn't necessarily expect Conchar to hit his only three. But so...
Well, Conchar, the best version of Conchar is when he gets open threes, he hits them. The year that, like, we're like, the year that basically
yes,
got him
but
a contract...
But then we gave up on it. But then right. we gave up on the fact that he would. But you know what he does? He comes in, he gets 5 rebounds.
Yes.
Like, he just comes in. He is 15 minutes, 5 rebounds for Conchar. But so the next thing is Santi, because we've asked, like, okay, after the top three Grizzlies, who's the next best player, right? Do they have a player worthy of being the fourth best player? And if you look at John Hollinger and why he is down on the Grizzlies and had them missing the playoffs, even the play-in this year, It's partly because he's like that bench, man. That bench. Well, when Jaren comes back, Santi's going to be part of that bench.
Yep.
And if he can give you equally effective minutes off the bench, that is fabulous. So that was impressive. I really was impressed by Jalen Wells. Now, I didn't necessarily expect him to play 23 minutes, but he didn't look overawed by the moment.
Totally agree.
Really? And so
he my guy is not afraid also to get a shot up.
He's a little too, like, there were, like, on the break where he could have hit, he couldn't have thrown an alley-oop to Ja. Like, come on, man, seriously.
Well, then there was one where he went into the paint and just got, like, rejected.
He is not afraid to get a shot up. He's going to have to learn to be more judicious. And by the way, Edie, who we'll get to in a moment, he fouled out and Jalen Wells had 5 fouls.
Yep.
You know, they got to learn how to guard at this level without.
Or get a better whistle.
So, but I think, I mean, Brevin was explaining. He was saying you can't extend your arms like that
Yep.
And so, so much of it is just learning what you can and can't get away with, and he has much to learn there. But obviously, the Santi thing was promising. Dez was Dez. He was really good, particularly in the third quarter. Ended up with 24 points. I found the most, and then the things you that were. Discouraging. Nothing's discouraging in one game. Nothing's discouraging in one game, but we're not ideal openers. You know, Marcus Smart, when they brought in Marcus Smart in an offseason which saw them disgorge Dillon, right? It was, he's going to frustrate you with how much he shoots. Like, people told you that. Like, even the best version of Marcus Smart was that. And, you know, when he's going 3 of 11, 1 of 6, that's not so great, but he contributed 5 rebounds.
Well, and then the layup that he hits.
And the layup was, yeah, that was big. And then you got Brandon Clark, who was not particularly good, 1 of 5. He had that one shot in the lane, the one sort of floater in the lane that he hit, but that's about it, and was not particularly effective. And then Zach Edey just looked totally overmatched.
Yeah, I mean, that's
slow, overmatched. John Collins was toying with him.
I thought
fouled, here's the truth, though. I found the fact that he was as bad as he was from the line, where he couldn't even hit free throws. He was 1 of 5 from the line. That, to me, summed it up, because he's going to hit free throws.
Right.
He's a good free throw shooter. That, to me, indicated this is first night jitters.
Well, and then also,
The
crowd was kind of getting to him,
yep,
a little bit, and you could tell, because, like, when he missed one of the free throws, like, that was, like, the loudest ovation of the night at that point. Like, you could tell. I kind of also viewed it as the fact that the Grizzlies won, he started, and he played terribly. Like, I viewed that as a positive, like, because you know you're going to need,
right,
him.
Well, and you're going to have, presumably, Jaren at some point. You know, I mean, you can go Jaren and Santi. You know, you can go, we know you can go Jay Huff. But I'm not crossing off.
Well, I mean,
by
that,
any stretch.
The other thing that kind of stood out is the only big that, quote-unquote, played well was Huff, and primarily Huff played well because he was able to stretch the floor with the three.
The big who played well was Kessler.
Yeah.
Who was unbelievable.
Exactly.
Who was absolutely dominant. 16 points, 14 rebounds, 5 blocks. Was really good. So much for this summer when we were reveling over Zach Edey's performance.
Was this a long con by Walker Kessler?
This was a long con. It was one game. If you are and have been an Edey skeptic and you watch that game, you would say, yep, that's exactly why. Looked slow, looked cumbersome, couldn't handle athletic big like Collins, and tentative and sort of mechanical, and yeah, he's a big, great college player, but he doesn't translate to. But that's stupid. That's one game. That's, you know, there will be games like that. Risa Shea was 2 of 8 last night, right?
I think Chris tweeted out that almost every rookie was bad.
They were all bad. Night. Like, they're bad. So to put much stock in it is silly. What you should be happy with is they got it out of the way.
Yes.
And still got the win.
Right? Amen.
So, Grizzlies win. Any other particular observations from game 1? They go on to Houston now, by the way. Houston lost to Charlotte.
Yeah, that was
110-105 as LaMelo, 34 points, 11 assists in that one. Steven Adams did not play. Dylan, I think, was one of six, maybe. And so, well, Rockets will be fired up. Rockets will be fired up to get their first win, having had a disappointing start to things. Any other thoughts on the Grizzlies and their opener?
Man, it's good to have Ja back.
It is so great to have Ja back.
It just makes watching the whole watching experience just so different.
He's sensational. And it's true. Like, at the end, when you're waiting for him to come back in, A, it was getting a little, like, come on, man, seriously, like, put him
back
in.
Yeah, it was too nervous. It was nerve-wracking.
Oh, I like Scottie Pippen just fine, but how are we doing this? How long are we doing this here? And, but it makes a huge, it makes a difference because it's fun and it's reassuring. And his ability, now he didn't hit threes, you know,
no, but,
and I don't expect him to, but he gets into the lane, he creates for himself, and then he creates for others. I mean, the Santi stuff, those were silver platters, right?
You know? Just has a knack for when it matters most. And that's
call 12. It's the best to have.
It's so much fun.
It makes a massive, massive difference. All right, we got to take a break. We're going to, Chris Harrington coming up in straight up 10 o'clock. We'll get his views on the game. We got a ridiculous prize package in Righter Than Right trivia, and we're going to play Believe It or Not when we return. Jeff Calkins, Show 92.9 FM ESPN. The NBA is back at FanDuel, America's number one sports book, wants you to catch all the action. This may be a little bit of a sore spot for Grizzlies fans, but catching all the action, Jeffrey. But here's the thing over at League Pass. Now, League Pass is not a way you can get the Grizzlies, sadly. But you can get the rest of the league on League Pass, and it promises to be an unbelievable season, given the parity that is involved out there. You got LeBron still here. You got Steph still here. You got KD with a big shot last night as the Suns beat the Clippers. Plus, then you got the up-and-coming, you know, Thunder and, honestly, Magic as well. So you can get 3 months of NBA League Pass. All you have to do is bet $5 on the NBA over at FanDuel. That's it. Bet $5 on the NBA over at FanDuel. Go to FanDuel.com/Calkins, C-A-L-K-I-N-S, C-A-L-K-I-N-S. Must be 21 or older, present Tennessee. After a three-month free trial, the full price of League Pass will be automatically charged monthly. Cancel anytime. No refunds, terms, restrictions, and embargoes apply. Limit one pass per customer. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call Tennessee Redline, 1-800-889-9789. Jeffrey, let's play Believe It or Not. All right, so Jeffrey, I sent you a, I guess you'd call it a Grizz hype song is what I think I would send you, a Grizz hype song. I found it on the I Love Memphis blog. It was sent to me from the I Love Memphis blog by an obviously a devout Memphis fan. And I would ask you in advance, this hype song is fire.
Okay, so since I haven't heard it, I'm going to listen in real time with the audience.
Okay,
how does that work?
Here we go. Yes.
1, 2, 3, huh. My Grizzlies don't mess around. We are fine in the West, and this I know for sure. We missed the playoffs last year, but this year is different. 12 is hot to go. Don't try to tell me we won't win the title. We are gonna win it all. Thank God for Edie, Jaren, Vincent, Scotty, Gigi, Marcus Smart et al. Banja. Banja.
There's more. There's
Banja. We've got our squad back. Oh, we've got our squad back. And Ja will pass you Brandon, who will dunk really tall. Luke, Jake, and Desmond. Oh, Luke, Jake, and Desmond. Those guys are really scary when their shots start to fall. If what they say is Memphis has no centers, then what makes, then what makes, then what makes, then what makes, what makes, what makes Huff the exception? So why,
a lot of words,
are you here
Jeffrey.
In the grindhouse when you know you're not
words.
Winning
Just
here.
Get to the Jane Jane Des thing.
Danger.
Okay.
Okay, so at first, I thought he was saying danger. So I was like, wait,
no.
Are we mixing
Bane
tight? Yeah. So I think this is the execution maybe isn't
It's
perfect,
an admirable effort.
But I think if you put the thing on paper, I think it's pretty impressive.
It is in fact.
As a songwriting exercise, I think that was pretty impressive.
When you listen to it, it's a little laughable, right?
Correct.
Like it's a little dopey and laughable.
Well,
let's
be
honest.
Fire
would be the wrong word.
Let's be clear. We need some auto tune there, but also the guitar playing was very solid. I give credit there.
It was an admirable effort. That's what I would say. Think of all the words involved in there. It changes throughout the piece. Like this isn't it's not just the same thing repeating over and over again. I would not say fire. I think dopey. Listen, it's no Precious Achiuwa. You know, it's no
nothing,
Precious.
Nothing can be.
Nothing can be Precious Achiuwa, my Precious Achiuwa song. But I'm, and I know some of you out there laughing at it, but I think it's fundamentally an admirable effort. That's it. From the I Love Memphis blog. And there you go. So we appreciate the devotion that people have towards the Grizzlies to inspire such a creative effort as that. All right, Jeffrey, this has been going around on Facebook the last few days, and I thought you might have an opinion. Chewy's is a great place for a first date. Did you see this? People are arguing about this on Facebook.
Kevin,
for the last two days. They've been raging at each other.
Kevin sent it to me yesterday. We didn't have time to get to it. I'm going to say I do believe this. For a first date, Huey's has kind of got something for everyone. Like, I think part of Huey's success is the versatility that it has. Like, number one, if you need to be boys' night, makes a great spot. If you need a spot that you and your wife just want to go have something casual, great. You want to take the kids, no problem. Like,
it's funny how it works on social media. You can catch shards of conversations and understand that somewhere out there they're having this back and forth I didn't see the full back and forth. Holly at the Daily Memphian says she was trying to find patient zero in this.
Right.
But evidently the it began because a woman was basically saying I don't know if it was her first date, but what a dreadful place it is for a first date. And then people staked out their sides the way people do. I know Brad is going to call me a fence sitter. I think it totally depends. And again, I'm happily married now. I'm not going on first dates. But if you're meeting on Bumble, let's say, or wherever one does these days, right? I think then a coffee is a good place for a first date, or a drink, or something with very, very low stakes, right? If, however, let's just say you've been friends forever with this person, or your co-work, or whatever, and you know each other very well, and you actually want to impress them and go on a first date, like you know this person already, you just haven't been on a date, well, then you might want to go a little more highbrow than Huey's, right? Then I think you might want to go to Majestic, or go to Catherine and Mary's, or go to Hog and Hominy, where I went, by the way, for lunch 2 days ago and had the meatball sub, which was out of this world.
That was a really nice first date.
But it wasn't a first date. It was just lunch. But I think it's totally dependent. I don't think there's any right answer here.
Right. But what I'm saying is
it's a little loud and burgery for a date though. That would be the point.
Well, I mean, I think it also depends on which Huey's. Like the other night we went to the Poplar one in between Mendenhall and Perkins. And we sat on the patio because we'd not sat on that new patio. Like, that's not as noisy, whatnot.
I'll be honest. I haven't gone to Huey's too much. It's the old, I assume it's crowded. And so
yeah,
no one goes there anymore, right? Because it's too crowded. And I literally said, this conversation was breaking out in the Daily Memphis and offices yesterday, and people were debating it. And I said, showing my how long it's been since I've been to Huey's, I said this. I said, what could be more fun on a first date than firing a toothpick into the ceiling?
Yeah, he didn't know.
They haven't done that since COVID.
Yeah.
That's another casualty of COVID.
Yeah. I also would argue that might be one of the good things. Like, I get it.
Overdone.
It wasn't. That's not the reason I ever
painted the ceilings. Paintings are totally immaculate. You never would have known. If you didn't walk in there, you would never know that the ceilings were once filled with toothpicks.
It had to be pointed out to me, like, oh, they got rid of the toothpicks. I'm like, oh, you're right.
You don't need toothpicks.
Yeah.
You don't need toothpicks. So you say yes.
Yes. And I agree with your point, though. It's circumstantial.
It's 100% but circumstantial.
If you tell me someone goes to their first date at Huey's, I don't think they go, that's weird.
I don't think that's weird.
So, like, that's kind of how I judge it. Like,
if you're having dinner, though, I don't think of it as a first date place.
I mean, it totally can be because it's casual.
It
can be, but
it's not elegant in any way.
Right, but some people don't want the elegance and gravitas on first date.
Right.
Now, date three.
That's why I say coffee.
Again,
or a drink.
Totally circumstantial.
We agree on that. You're a little bit confused as to why the NBA would be investigating Joel Embiid and participation in games.
I do believe that because my first reaction when I saw it going on the crawl was, well, that's kind of weird.
Yeah, like I don't understand this at all. They basically said that Joel Embiid has said, I'm not going to play any back-to-backs, and if it was up to me, I wouldn't play any back-to-backs, and he's not. And they're very clearly going to hold out Joel Embiid a lot, right, in an effort to have him healthy at the end of the season.
Sure.
I do understand that if you have a 26-year-old healthy superstar and it's an ESPN or a TNT night, you don't want him sitting out just because it's rest, right? But if you've got a dude with his record of health challenges and his established history of creaky knees, like, what the hell is there to investigate? Like, what, really? You're going to investigate him for participation? You just, there's one that I totally understand why, my game management or whatever the hell it's called
load management
makes sense.
So
are they doing it just so they look like they're treating everyone equally?
I think you always have to remember, like, the NBA is the most, like, appearance and image conscious of all the leagues. And I guess because it becomes a talking point, they're going to sit there and act like they're doing something. But I don't know of a single reasonable person that heard that and was like, oh, they're trying to get around the rules. Like, everyone heard that and was like, yeah, that makes sense. Like, it got, now, I guess there's also been some blowback because he played in the Olympics and, you know, there were things that people were like, what's he doing this for? Like, he played through that, but now he's going to sit there. But, like, to me, like, that's kind of all related.
All right. Of the three players, the three solid rotation players who were mildly disappointing last night, and that would be Zach Edey, Marcus Smart, and Brandon Clark. You are most concerned about Brandon Clark.
I do not believe that. We in the trust tree?
Explain to me what that means again.
If you're listening out there, this is kind of
we'll
workshop.
Keep it amongst ourselves.
Like workshopping. This is like a safe space that we're not making this like a firm.
They
take.
All three for one correct. Reason or another.
This work, is more, ugh, this you is know, more workshop. Marcus Smart looks fat.
Doesn't look like he's in the best of shape.
He's got, but did you see the size of his neck and his face?
Isn't that reason for hope then?
Okay, maybe.
Because fat gets better with exercise.
It's always the Shaq. You don't pay me to be in shape.
These days in the NFL, you'll hear people say, it used to be that players would show up and get in shape during training camp. Well,
right.
Those days are gone. Now they're all professional athletes and they work out all the time. That's what you hear all the time. It's possible that Marcus Smart has a different throwback, old
school
approach
correct
to this, and he comes in and he's going to work himself in shape, and so therefore all we're going to see is a steady trajectory of improvement.
Yeah, but I also found myself wondering, going back to the internet conspiracy before media day, of didn't work out with the team, whatnot. You know, is he happy to be here?
So of the three,
that
your
was the
level
that was,
of concern for the three would be what? Who's rank them?
So I'm going Smart, Edie Clark. Like, Brandon
may never be the Brandon we wanted him to, who got that contract,
We have a pretty long sample size that shows Brandon plays his best with Jaren. I don't think Jaren's out for the year.
We also have an injury that he's coming back
correct.
From, and we like to pretend that because we saw him briefly at the end of the
right.
year, we isn't coming back from it, but he is.
Correct. And so, and also last night, none of the interior bigs, they did not play well. So I kind of credit Utah to that. Edie, I think that was just classic first game. It didn't get, like, I always think for young guys, it's important for things to kind of get going in the right direction. And when it didn't get going in the right direction, it kind of started to spiral on him. And as you and I have talked about, he's in this weird reality now of he's not used to hearing the whistle called on him. And he's not used to having fouls called on him. So there's an adjustment period. So I'm kind of fine with that. The Smart thing is, like,
yeah, but the other thing, though, is I'll tell you, the only reason that I would put Edie at the bottom, too. The only reason why I would elevate him at all is because, weirdly enough, he's more important than the other two. Because there's not another like him. Like, unless you count Jay Huff. Whereas there are other...
I guess I would argue this, though. If we get to game 82, don't you think Marcus Smart's going to play more minutes?
Maybe he won't even be on the team.
But, like, to me, it's like, that's a reality, but there's also the reality
Here's the thing. With Marcus Smart, if he's not good... I got Vince Williams. I got Gigi Jackson. I got, hell, now I got Jalen Wells. Like, I got...
Right. We all believe in those things, but it's not proven in, like, meaningful basketball.
We'll ask Chris the same question. He won't be worried about any of them because it's one game, of course.
Correct.
Small sample size, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All right. Dolphins, totally insane to be bringing Tua back and evidently, you know, probably playing him this weekend against Arizona.
I don't believe this because I feel like I've been pretty consistent on this all along. I don't understand why we morally go after football players for wanting to play football. If the doctors in good faith said he's good to go and good to play, why should we be deciding whether or not he plays anymore?
Well, a lot of players, I mean, I'm with you on this, by the way. I agree. It's to his life. And I thought that you know, his coach, when he talked about this afterwards, was very good. He's like, oh, well, who am I? You know, it's not my life. It's his life. And why fans are so... What's weird is we don't really care that we watch the sport where mayhem is the inevitable result of the sport that we watch
all
the time.
It is a collision sport.
It is built into the sport. Mayhem, brain damage, ligament damage...
And I don't, I honestly, I do that, not think it was meant to be played by guys this big, this fast, this strong.
And yet then we want to rush people off. Then all of a sudden we get squeamish when maybe it's just like not wanting to see the contents of hot dogs. You know, like we like hot dogs so much that we don't want to see the contents of hot dogs. So we want Tua to leave so we don't have to deal with the unpleasantness of this again. And I think it's possible that the NFL honestly might, in fact, if they could have just voted secretly, they might have said, we'd rather Tua go off into the sunset. And that way we don't have to talk about, hey, if Tua's on the field, you're talking about concussions. If he's on the field,
yeah,
you're talking about concussions.
I can buy that, but I would also...
I'm not saying the Dolphins want him to.
I would submit as a counterpoint, I don't want to watch the Dolphins without Tua. Like, it's just
true.
A terrible watch.
I know, but you don't have to. Like, you can. There's other games.
Yeah, but like sometimes what if like that's a good line?
That's fine. I'm not saying you. I'm saying the NFL. Tyreek Hill said he wanted to cry because Tua's back on
that goes to my point.
On the pack, right? On the practice field. Miami is 2-4. And if people want to say the Jets have a chance, people last week were still saying, me included, because they added a wide receiver, that the Jets, might still have a chance. Let me ask you, who's better, Devontae or Tua?
Tua.
Tua's better.
Yes.
And the Dolphins are 2-4, which is what the Jets were last week.
Yes. Well, the Dolphins have a one game. They've one fewer loss.
Yeah, they got one fewer loss. They're in better position. It's funny. We've just put them to the side in the dustbin, and people have been reluctant to do that with the Jets. But the Tua really, I mean, the Dolphins are not, in fact.
I believe in the Dolphins more than I believe in the Jets. Significantly. Dolphins with two, I should say.
And they got Arizona this week, winnable game. All of a sudden,
and Arizona rotates. Arizona won on Monday night, so they're going to lose.
So they're going to lose. Arizona's erratic. It makes me a little nervous. Sure it does.
Well, this is where the Bills, though, having a three-game advantage, this is where the
math. It doesn't make me nervous from that perspective. It makes me nervous for literally. I'm not worried about the Dolphins catching the Bills from that perspective. I'm worried about the Dolphins. I do, in the end, even with Dolphins, I have an ounce of humanity when I think about them. And so, yeah.
Well, it's because the Bills have never really struggled with them.
It's because what?
The Bills have not really struggled
with them. Yes. Oh, no. I can afford to have some humanity, shred of humanity when I think about the Dolphins.
You still have.
They own them.
You still have heebie-jeebies with the Pats, even though the Pats are god-awful. And then you still, because of the Monday night game last year, you still have Jets
heebie-jeebies with everybody.
Even though the Josh, I think, it's like 8-2 against the Jets. 9-2.
This past Sunday, the Bills are playing the Titans.
Yeah.
That's a game I'm like, I can watch this game.
Well, you couldn't until you...
No. Wait, hold on. This is what I said in advance. I said, I can watch this game. This is a game I can watch. They're going to win. They're safely, dramatically better than the Titans.
Yes.
They've added Cooper. They're at home. They've been on the road for a while. I can sit down, and from beginning to end, I can watch this game.
Mm-hmm.
They immediately go down 10-0.
And you turn it off.
And I'm like, this is exactly like the game against the Pats last year that the Bills, you remember, lost that game to the Pats? And I was so confident in that game that I went to Brookhaven to watch it with Bills backers.
With the fan club?
Who are now at the Kooky Canuck, but out in Cordova. But I haven't mustered the courage to
do it. But you're on the other side of Niagara Falls.
So that's the thing. I decided that I could watch it, and it's still – I'm squeamish about everything. Oh, here's another one. If, in fact, Matt Stafford is available, the Vikings should go get him.
I don't believe it because, in the end, Sam Darnold was not your option anyway. You'd already made the decision to move on to McCarthy. Why are you going to spend assets to kind of do this? You know, you just – part of the reason you let Kirk Cousins go was money. And why are you going to bring this on when Darnold has been completely fine?
Well, because
you're mortgaging your future.
The argument would be completely fine doesn't win you a Super Bowl. You didn't think you'd be a Super Bowl contender. You look around the NFC right now. San Francisco is struggling. Dallas is struggling. Philadelphia is struggling. The only team that really is that you might feel like is as good or better than you is Detroit.
But they're in your division.
And they just lost Aiden Hutchinson. So you can't.
You just played them without Aiden Hutchinson, and you got them at home. And honestly,
that's fine. But why not be elite? Why not win a Super Bowl? Why
I don't think Stafford would have won that game either.
Why not? Well, that would be the bet. The bet would be if you get who's better, Stafford or Darnold?
Stafford,
right? So why not make yourself better?
But is he?
Yeah, they're not building for the future. They're building for. They didn't think they. Maybe
I mean,
they,
what's the price
they,
tag? Also,
maybe they thought they were. Well, that of course. Yeah, it would seem callous at this point, honestly, to discard Darnold. He hasn't been great, but he's been good enough, and it would be callous to discard him. But it's a callous league.
Should the Jets trade for him?
Ha! Should the Jets not have traded for Aaron Rodgers?
Yes.
What should they have done?
Rebuild. It's why I gave the Titans a shot. Their defense has always been overrated. They have been masked because Saleh always promoted the defense and how good they were. They played a style of play that made your defensive numbers look good. Their defense was always overrated. It was good, but it wasn't this like 85 Russian. Bears.
All right. If you are looking for a new financial institution, Leaders Credit Union would be the place to look. LeadersCU.com/ESPN. Just check it out. Check it out. I can say this because, you know, Claire very, very recently walked into the Bartlett location, open account. They got a new, they've got a new branch opening soon in Arlington. But you just don't download the app. It's a fabulous credit union. And of course, credit unions exist purely for the benefit of their members. So they don't have any corporate overlords they have to shovel profits to. All the money goes right back into better technology, better service, all of that. For example, they also are great citizens. Honestly, they just gave $35,000 to educators across West Tennessee, the Leaders Education Foundation. So, in addition to everything else, they're great corporate citizens. So, whether you need a new car loan, whether you need a new home loan, or whether you're just fed up with the runaround that you're getting from your financial institution, check out Leaders Credit Union, leaderscu.com/ESPN. Chris Harrington, when we come back, then Writer Than Right Trivia. The prize is almost hard to believe. We got four tickets to the Grizzlies Saturday night, plus Steve Martin and Martin Short coming to the Orpheum, plus tickets to that. Two tickets to that.
Yes, sir.
Plus 901 Wrestling tickets.
Indeed, last show of 2024.
Wow. Huge prize package on Writer Than Right Trivia. We'll do all that in the second hour, 92.9 FM ESPN.